Welcome to the Basement Gallery's Making Changes podcast. Before we get started, I would like to preface everything and state that the views, opinions, and ideas presented in this podcast are those of the individuals in the Basement Gallery and our guests, and do not necessarily represent the views of the University of California, Davis, and its affiliates. Now that we're done with that, I'm Jada, or Jay. I go by she, her, hers. I'm a fourth year art student and design double major here at UC Davis, as well as the lead director of the Basement Gallery. I'm here with Ren and one of our Basement Gallery members. I'll be speaking for the anonymous artist, but I'll have everyone introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Ren. I go by they, them, and I am an art studio major.
Hi, my name is Rocio. I'm the lead preparator for the gallery, and I go by she, her, hers, and I'm an art studio major, and it's my last year.
Other than the questions that we've borrowed from Paul Beck, today we'll be talking about two writing pieces, one from the anonymous artist called Abandoned Reception and another one by Ren, Memories of a Florist. We're going to kind of also be talking about the struggle of constructing in a studio space, the physical and mental differences in work ethic when we're no longer working in a shared space at UC Davis. First, I would like to read a passage from our anonymous artist. Poem, once again, is called Abandoned Reception.
Two steps forward. Sign off the past right at the bottom. They'll be with you in just a second. Rest across the remaining departed in the waiting. Room filled with crumbled goodbyes and cliche apologetic expiration dates. My skin, pinched by the urge to write, final lamented utterances. Pulling apart the skin of our cadence from yesterday. Seeping. The remaining lifeline filling the crevices of my palm. What once was open remains firmly shut. I remember this feeling in another life. It was when I cried while I sat amongst sheep. In this graveyard filled with damaged goods, am I supposed to sit and hope for the conspicuous Newman to arrive? Closure was never meant to be this haunting. Infiltrating my mind, the fear of forgetting, I plaster the lifeline over myself in hopes that my pores absorb the nostalgia. 10 eyes blankly stare at my body. On the floor, mopping the dripping remainder of us. My dissonant pleas for help crawled with my torso back on the chair. My shoulder blades slowly start to erode, still shouting in silence. Wash my face in an attempt to flee, 10 eyes glare. Tolerant of this cradled purgatory, my tears filled with ashes of our earlier dalliances and distraught from the silence on the other end of the phone. The void always replies. Cleanse my sight in an attempt to forgive, 12 eyes now, wrapped in the soft reality of acceptance. I sit amongst the late amour, filled with a herring detritus of past flirtations, picking at my lips, puncturing the taste of my last intimate words. Peeling my ears from how you said my name, I now sit above buried affection, lay in patience, waiting to be called in.
Just a little blurb from this anonymous artist about this writing.
I am terrible at visually explaining my ideas. Zero technical skills whatsoever. But I always conceptualize in my head an idea visually. With this poem in particular, I just thought about a waiting room filled with people representing their past relationships. As if there's a procedure you have to wait for after you end some relationship. And then the feelings just fall into place within the poem and I build around the original concept.
Oh, it's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, and then now I'm going to have Ren read a piece of their writing, as far as you would like to go.
He would sit with his back slouched over, tightening the wrinkles of his coat as his arms rested on the bar countertop. The dark brown coat sharpened the curves of his shoulders, and short locks of curly ebony cupped the sides of his cheeks. Uncertain fingers wrapped around a glass cup, surveying the distressed figure reflecting in the swaying alcohol as he loomed over it. Bursts of laughter and vague conversations bounced off the walls bordered by wooden Sedona red that matched the rest of the furniture. Dim amber lights mimicking candles lined up on the walls, staining the room with an orange hue. To his left, a group of rambunctious men gathered close together, shouting childish banter at each other while they chugged on their beverages. Beside him, a man in a pine green suit joined the intense conversation. Black felt derby rested upon his well-groomed hair that parted in the middle, separating the short locks of smooth charcoal. The dull green of his coat brought out the vibrancy of his brown skin as his cheeks flushed crowned his round eyes. The man, whose name he couldn't recall, but he knew that they had been each other's company for more than a few years, turned his head towards the sulking man. "What has gotten you so down? You haven't even touched a drink." With the swerve of his chair, the dark-skinned gentleman had given him his full attention. The grip around his glass tightened as he squinted his eyes down at the cup. Uneasy, a burn developed in his stomach up through his throat as he was too embarrassed to even speak. Shoulders caved in, he sensed heat forming on his pale skin. "It's nothing," he sighed, puffing out his brown coat. "It's just..." For a moment, he snuck a glance at the man before his eyes locked back into his own reflection. Shame overwhelmed him, but the thought that he was speaking to no one other than his own mirrored image calmed him. "There's a man," his head sunk lower towards his blouse. "He's been watching me for a while, for a few days, actually. I fear..." He paused, rubbing at the back of his neck. "I fear he might do something to me, that he might do something to my shop or something to me." The man coated of green pine choked on his drink mid-chuckle, leaning forward, his hand firmly slapped at the timid man's shoulder blade with a grin drowning from the stench of alcohol. "Ha ha, what are you so afraid of? The man most likely just wants to buy flowers for his wife," he continued to pat him gently on the back. "And besides, he probably doesn't take men," he stated with a lack of seriousness. "I suppose you're right." The timid man shrugged, unsatisfied by the poor reassurance. "You take things too seriously," he exclaimed, throwing his arms up, almost spilling his drink. "Just approach the man and tell him to bug off." He paused, swallowing his own spit. "And if that doesn't work, then jab him in the neck," he chuckled, giving his friend's shoulder a hard punch. Taking another shot, he swerved his body back towards the group of drunken men, distancing himself from the gloomy man. "If only it was that simple." Drooping his shoulders, he groaned, gritting his teeth with instant regret. A part of him knew that he wouldn't have been taken seriously as his friend's laughter lingered in his thoughts. Humiliation settled in, and he wanted nothing more than to shout at himself for opening up to his dear friend. He knew that he shouldn't have shown up, but he made the grand mistake of believing that a drink with a few friends can cure his troubles. But as he sat there with the drink in hand, he couldn't manage to bring himself to forget, to ignore the black vehicle that stared him down from across the street, and the eyes that lurked over him through the dingy glass door. There was no telling when it actually began, but he remembered how he tenderly arranged a group of dahlia purple hazes, only to notice something out of the corner of his eye. Right across the street from his store parked an automobile of crude oil, a double A sedan, but it wasn't the car he feared.
I just really like how you word things.
There's this level of detail that's enticing in a way. I want to keep reading more. I was waiting for you to continue, but we can't give away all of the story yet.
So my first question, does your writing somehow inform or influence your more visual works? Because I know that you also like submitted those photographs.
No, actually, they don't. Well, actually, if I think about it, one of them does. Kind of. Targary, which I think, did kind of remind me of the story that I had written, because the story that I had wrote was based off of, I'm not sure if I would call it like a daydream, but I remember one day going about my day and I had remembered something really strange, and I just felt maybe it was like a daydream. But I remembered in this daydream, I remembered like a barn and running through a field of grass, and I kind of inserted that into the story.
Yeah, so the photos that you submitted are of the past life, a window to nowhere, a portal to another realm. Like the imagery in the photographs that you took are part of the story in a way. Nice. Would you say most of your stuff is separate? Your writing is separate?
Yeah, most of my stuff is separate. I think that was mainly one of the only times where I felt like my writing connected to my work.
What was, you kind of talked about this briefly, but what was kind of the inspiration?
Oh, for the story, right? Or for
either ones.
Yeah. It was that daydream, but I had twisted. What I remembered is I wrote something different just so the story would make sense. Yeah, I've always been interested in abandoned places, things, just like I love the sense of walking into somewhere and feeling a sense of history or perhaps seeing how people live. And there's just like this sense of, I don't know how to explain it.
I understand what you're saying is objects, especially like ones that we use every day, exist beyond us being there with the object. So a desk that I was sitting at when I was in eighth grade will continue to sit there and provide a seat for other people. But, you know, at one point that's going to be abandoned.
Yeah, there's just something so sad about seeing things left to rot, or just like walking to an abandoned house and everything is still there, but the owner isn't. It's just something so lonesome.
Yeah, but I'm guessing also kind of beautiful in a way, enough where you want to like photograph it or have it put into your stories.
Definitely. There is a beauty in it.
Yeah, I had a question for you, Ren, about your writing. I was wondering what your writing process is like, if you revise a lot of your writing or if you kind of do it all at once, or is it like a long process?
Yeah, like a stream of consciousness, or is it I need to sit down and like make an outline and then write?
It's kind of like a stream of consciousness, but I find that you said I word things rather like interestingly. Usually I figure out how to word things when I'm like oddly brushing my teeth, getting ready for the night. I'll be like brushing my teeth and finally like I'll get like this flow of like words and I'm like I have to write this down, and I quickly like type it onto my phone and save it for later. After I get it all typed into my laptop, that's where I begin typing.
Yeah, I feel like my best ideas come when like I'm either in the shower or I'm about to close my eyes and fall asleep. I'm like, I gotta get up and write it down because I know that I'm not gonna remember it the next day.
Yeah, it's so interesting how that happens when we're just doing daily mundane things in our life, is when we're inspired or ideas just come up out of nowhere.
Yeah, I feel like it's great, but it also can be so frustrating because I'll sit there in front of my laptop or I'll like sit in front of a canvas. And I'm like, I have no idea what I want to do. And then it'll be at the most inopportune time where I'm like, yep, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not even in my house or anything, but I know exactly what I'm going to do now. Did you want to say anything else about your writing or about...
I don't know writing. I'm still pretty new to writing, actually. This was the first short story I've ever written. I was pretty proud of it.
Yeah. Anything about your photos that you want to talk about?
Yes. Well, I shot them all with my phone.
Oh.
Yes. I was taking photography and everyone had cameras and I had my phone. And I was like, well, this is going to work whether I like it or not. And I really like going, like I said, I like going to bed in places, but I've never really done that before. And it's a little scary, especially if you're going alone. Mm-hmm. And according to the internet, there was like this little barn near my house. And I was like, I'm going to go take pictures at it. But I didn't know if someone owned it. So I was kind of like, I don't condone trespassing, okay? But I did it anyway.
Yeah, because I know that usually if you don't have a camera, you don't have supplies, at least for last quarter, they didn't allow you to borrow supplies from the university. You kind of just have to make do without having the extra supplies.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes with the idea of having to deal with having a studio at home and not on campus, which is really, I feel like it's really difficult sometimes, especially not having people with you to like talk about your work or help you with things.
Yeah. There was like this odd struggle with photography. Like when I'm painting or drawing, I could think of almost any composition, but when I'm taking photos, it's like I have to search for composition. And it was just such a struggle looking for it. And I found myself just staring at the same composition over and over, which is just, I'm not sure if you noticed, but a lot of my photos, it's like always straight on to maybe like a window or a door. And there's just something so alluring about doors, because it's like, I don't know, whenever I look at them, I get the sense I'm supposed to move in within them, that I'm supposed to interact with it, that if I were to go through it, that I would be sent somewhere completely different.
Yeah, like it turns into a passage to like another world, or yeah, that goes with your titles, like a past life, like a portal to another realm. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention of like having to create a studio space within your home. For me, I find it difficult to separate the work I do in the studio from the rest of like my daily life, because I'm so used to like having a studio at school where you go there physically. So it's kind of hard to differentiate that. And oh, I like how you mentioned, Ren, of how when you're drawing or painting, compositions come like a little easier to you. But in photography, it's like you have to find a composition. When you draw or paint, you can create whatever composition you want. But in photography, you just have what's in front of you. And yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
All right, so the real questions. Can you tell us about someone who inspires you?
Yes, definitely say my professor from American River College, Betty Nelson. I had her for character design and facial expression. She taught me the importance of emotion and how even small things matter. She told me how important it was to surround myself with those who push me to further my work, which I feel like I still haven't found, sadly. She told me about her hardships in life and the obstacles she hurdled over, and it inspired me in a time where I faced difficulties. She noticed in my work that I was going through like certain hardships, and she took the time to confront me about it. She taught me the importance of reading those around us, and she told me just like people, expressions are fleeting, that capturing little moments in someone's face could tell everything that we need to know, that the creases and wrinkles we see on an old person's face could tell decades of grief and joy. And that was something I had seen in her. I could tell that she learned all that from experience.
I feel like professors find a way to inspire people. I feel like I have a couple of professors that I'm like, wow, I know in the future I'm going to look back on your class and stuff like that, and it's really changed my experience as an artist, or who I've become as an artist. So I think that's really great that you have someone like that in your life.
Anonymous told us, I think the name of the person would change every time. I have moments where one person in particular inspires me just through their own artwork, and other moments where reading a famous person's biography somehow inspires me. I enjoy not having a constant person sometimes because I believe it's important to always reflect and improve yourself and your perspective. Anonymous told us that the most exciting thing that they've seen or done at this point during the pandemic is getting the mail and running errands. Ren, what would you say is the most exciting thing that you've seen or done?
It's kind of sad. It disappoints me, but to say that I don't think I've done something that excites me. But one time that kind of comes close was I won a scholarship that I didn't exactly deserve. So I'm a very bad planner. I don't know what my problem is, but I always mix up numbers. So when I had to drive all the way to my campus to submit work for a scholarship, I realized I read the submission times wrong and that I was late. And when I realized that, I panicked and I wanted to go back, but I still decided to go. I dropped off my work anyway, and while they were looking over portfolios, thankfully I was able to give them my work. And at that point, I didn't really care about winning. I told them like, if they could just look at my work, that would be happy enough. That would make me happy enough. And in the end, I actually won, even though according to the rules, I shouldn't have. I felt bad because people have been waiting there for 8 hours just to lose to some fool that walked in almost an hour late. And although a year later, I learned that those people hated me. I made enemies. And that there are people who hated me just for the fact that that happened.
I think it says a lot, though, that you came up to him and was like, listen, I messed up. I just want you to take a look at my art. I want you to view my art. You didn't come in and say, oh, I have to win this award. You know, like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a reason why you won it. What does art mean to you? You can keep it as brief as possible if that makes it easier. But what do you think that art means to you?
I can't really tell, but I know that if I weren't to make art, I would feel a sense of almost guilt, because I always thought about life or death. I may not be religious, but I always thought about it. And I always thought that I want to leave something behind. I want to make something that people can remember me by. And I think making art to me is almost leaving behind a memory, leaving behind what my thoughts were, what intrigued me. It's making things that I feel like represent me. So when I'm gone, there's like a piece of me still there.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was so well put. Because you're a writer, that's why.
Anonymous said that keeping authenticity alive in every decision is most sacred to her. If you don't know something regarding a certain topic, stay humble and listen to others. Don't try to be over the top. It defeats the purpose of learning. And more importantly, become less of an original version of yourself. Once you maintain authenticity, you realize how certain criticisms and reflections are beneficial to our ever-changing mentalities. What is most sacred to you, Ren?
Most sacred to me?
Yeah, take that however way you want.
Well, if we're talking about physical options, it would have to be my art, especially the violin that I made. It's currently my favorite art piece next to the guitar I had made right after it. If we aren't talking about physical objects, and it's either, I would say, alone time with nature, or just, and also being with people who genuinely care about you. Because I realize when you get older, finding friends, finding people to be around you is so much more difficult. If you have someone who genuinely stays with you and who genuinely texts you and wants to meet up, keep up. Because there's just going to be a lot of fake people who want to use you for whether art or just as an emotional pillow. And I also think alone time is very sacred to me, especially with nature. It's something that I currently don't have a chance to do while living in the concrete suburbs, but I love, back in Davis, I loved sitting in the arboretum, especially that little part with the redwood trees. It reminded me of Lake Tahoe so much. But I loved being there at night and sitting down on a tree trunk, especially when it was foggy and it was like 4 a.m. just came out of the ceramic studio. It was horrible. But I would definitely love to move somewhere full of nature, out of the suburbs, which to me holds a capitalistic nature, because I feel like living here, I'm surrounded by stores or big companies, and all you feel the need is to do is buy. And for me, what is sacred is just being connected to the earth. There's this, I know with the word sacred, it's usually in a religious context, and I guess it's a spiritual practice. And something that I think about a lot is this spiritual practice called earthing. I don't know if you know what it is, but it's just walking barefoot on like dirt or just the earth. And it's a bit cheesy, I know, but our feet have spent so long on this man-made floor covered by man-made shoes. And I always thought, when was the last time they had felt the ground that has grown our food? When was the last time they had felt the ground that has given us the foundation to build a home? I know a lot of people look up to the sky for hope, but sometimes I think there's a lot of hope looking down at the ground as well.
Wow, I have to try earthing, because that sounds like it would be really refreshing. All right.
Thanks for being here. Yeah,
thanks for coming and joining us on this podcast.
Thank you for letting me talk. It's an honor.
You can find the writings and the artwork discussed in this podcast on the UC Davis Basement Gallery Instagram at @UCD_basement_gallery. You can find Ren and their artwork at @Prince_Ren_. Next episode, we'll be talking with Matthew Kellison and Ariana Bustani about influence, inspiration, and art today. Our intro and outro music is brought to you by Ariana Bustani.